but that's the old me.
Shouting out on my windows, roll down, 'cause I don't care anymore, said I don't care.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you're having a great day today. Whether you're listening Saturday live on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620, or you're listening to the podcast version of this show, wherever you get your podcasts, whenever you get your podcasts, either way, we're going to hope to make your day just a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. Joining me to do so, as he does so very often on the show, is my co-host for the show, Jeremy Branch. Welcome, Jeremy.
Glad to be back. It's always a pleasure, and I'm loving the fact that we're easing into my favorite time of year. Days are a little bit longer, get to hold on to the sunlight for a couple more hours after people are getting off work, and it's fantastic. I love summertime. What I don't like is when we go back and to regular time schedule or whatever.
I was waiting for you to break into the Josh Gad trap remix of In Summer from Wonder Man.
It would have been too accurate, and we would have probably got flagged and had to pay royalties.
We might have to play that when we come back from the break, just because it's too funny. We haven't really talked about the Wonder Man show. We're not going to talk about it today, really. But what a great show! And it really does kind of lead into what we are going to talk about today, because it is getting closer to summer, and that means it's getting closer to summer movie season. And that show really kind of focuses around the making of a summer movie blockbuster. So it is, it's a good time to talk about that. We've gotten through the Oscars, and the it's a weird thing, because summer, like, I think for most of us that think of like the calendar, summer is, June, July, August, but summer movie season really kind of starts like late April, early May. And it really runs through like end of July. Sometimes it trickles into August. But, it just kind of depends on how packed the calendar is in a given year and that sort of thing. So this year we're gonna talk about some of the big movies that are coming up, and kind of just give you a little idea of what to look for on the theatrical horizon, and encourage you to get out to your local theaters to see these movies on the big screen. They will eventually get to streaming. Maybe sooner, maybe later. I know Universal just announced that they're going to extend their theatrical window over the next couple of years.
That's good.
Yeah. So, there seems to be a big push to rescue theatrical features, which I think is a valid choice. And what we're going to be talking about here is all theatrical features. I'm sure there will be some great movies directly to streaming over the coming months, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. So we're going to just kick things off right away. This is a movie that I think has been delayed a little while, but I think it has been delayed not for quality reasons, but for quality reasons in terms of that they're trying to make sure they get the best quality product out, not because that this is a movie that they've been hiding and we're just trying to dump it out there. It's not coming out in January,
Right.
And that's Michael. This is the biopic of Michael Jackson, already kind of a controversial biopic, because this has been very much approved by the estate and the family, and is not necessarily a warts and all depiction of the life of Michael Jackson. Something that his own daughter has been relatively critical about. Paris Jackson has been on record as saying, this does not provide a complete picture of who my dad was.
It's only 2 hours long.
Well, that I'm not clear on, because there was some talk at some point that they were turning this into two films, and I'm not clear whether that happened or not.
Me neither.
Yeah, but we actually have an actual cousin of Michael Jackson playing Michael in the film. And directed by Anton Fuqua, who's a great filmmaker. They've obviously got the rights to the catalog, which is important when you're making a film like this. You got to have the music. I think it's going to be a fascinating film. I don't know how accurate it'll be, but I'm very intrigued by it.
Yeah. I mean, if it features Michael Jackson music, I'm at least 75% of the way there for it. However, to your point, it's not like this is going to be the expose or the complete picture, because its goal is to remind audiences of how awesome Michael Jackson was as the King of Pop.
Yeah. You know, there's some interesting casting in this. Colman Domingo is, of course, playing the patriarch of the Jackson family, Joe Jackson. Nia Long playing his mom. Miles Teller's in this as John Branca, which I'm not the biggest Miles Teller fan in the world, but Branca is currently the guy that's in charge of the Jackson estate and is currently being sued by Jackson's kids. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, over his handling of the estate and basically the, you know, trying to take too much of the pie that should belong to them. And whatever else you think of, you know, Michael Jackson and things that have gone on in his life, I think we can all agree that his kids deserve to inherit his fortunes. You know, they haven't done anything wrong.
No, and being born with a name like Blanket, I feel like it's like the least they could do is make it right for the kid.
Yeah, that would go a long way. At the very least, you could afford to change your name after that. But yeah, I'm not 100% clear on whether they decided to go ahead and divide this into two movies or just make it one film. It looks like they did just go ahead with just making it one film. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll have to see. But
what
I
else you got?
How do you feel about, before we go in on that, how do you feel about music biopics in general? Are you a fan or are you iffy on them? I know some people don't like them.
I do like them. I feel like a good sports movie, a good music biopic can be rousing and inspiring. And I can think of a handful of really good ones that have come out over the last couple of years.
Okay. So moving on, coming out May 1st. And if I didn't say, Michael is coming out April 24th. So tail end of April. Mm-hmm. So just a few weeks away, really. Moving on to May 1st. This is a film that I'm personally not excited about at all, but I know that there are a lot of people that are very excited about it, and that's The Devil Wears Prada 2. So you've got everybody coming back from the original, Anne Hathaway and
Meryl
Streep and Stanley Tucci, et cetera, et cetera. I got to admit, I've never seen the original. Tell me what I'm missing here.
That I haven't seen the original either.
Okay.
I don't think we're the demo for this one.
So is this just not for us, but for the people that love it, hey, it's going to be there and you go out and love it all you want to love it?
I mean, what a wonderful cast. It's got Emily Blunt is being added to the cast. So I'm sure.
She was in the original also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I do know that there is a huge audience for this, and as we have seen, and what I think is fantastic, is that women will show up at the theaters if you give them a reason to, and I think this will be a good, well-performing movie because of that.
Do you think that, based on what you've heard, that this is a story people were clamoring for, or that it's a cash grab?
I mean, what movie isn't a cash grab? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have my finger on the pulse in that way. But I do have another May 1st release that I'm really excited about that I don't know if you're going to bring up.
Well, go ahead, because I don't have anything else written down for May 1st, so go ahead.
So there's a movie coming out called Hokum, and this is by a very well-respected Irish filmmaker. His name is Damien McCarthy. He did a couple of different films that are very low-budget, one called Oddity and one called Caveat. And this is his first theatrical release. It's coming out here in the States. The trailers are compelling, and I am always excited to see horror filmmakers get an opportunity to be kind of presented to the masses. And this one stars Adam Scott, David Wilnett, Austin Emilio, and some other people.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Well, we'll have to keep an eye out for that. So that's called, you said Hokum?
Welcome, yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Test your mind. Test
Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us, and he is ready to test your might.
Let's go, man. I just got excited like it was the mid-90s, and I was going to see Mortal Kombat for the fourth time in the movie theater.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because we're about to have the fourth theatrical Mortal Kombat release coming out on May 15th. That being Mortal Kombat 2, the second Mortal Kombat 2, I should say, in fairness.
Favorite Mortal Kombat game.
Okay. Well, so just to get there, we had the original Mortal Kombat movie that came out in the 90s, and then we had Mortal Kombat. Was it called Mortal Kombat 2, or was it like a subtitle movie?
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Annihilation, that's right. I think there were a couple of direct-to-video things in there, too, but we're going to ignore those. How long has it been since the reboot movie?
I want to say, and I'm kind of just shooting in the dark here, I want to say it was 2021.
I think you might be right. I think it might have been pre-pandemic even. 2021, you're exactly right. Yeah. So not quite pre-pandemic, but right in that era. Yeah, because I think it was one of those films that was released simultaneously in theaters and onto HBO Max, or whatever they were calling HBO Max that week.
because
of the whole pandemic thing. So we're now 5 years from that, and we're finally getting the sequel that was teased at the end of that film, where we saw a poster of like a profile Johnny Cage and somebody standing in the foreground looking like they were about to enter the next film. And 5 years later, we get the payoff, and Johnny Cage will be the main star of this movie, played by none other than Carl Urban.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it's pretty solid casting for a little bit of Mortal Kombat lore. The game was originally designed with the specific intent of having Jean-Claude Van Damme do Johnny Cage's role and be the star of the game. There was the whole Street Fighter film situation that came out at the time. Jean-Claude Van Damme just didn't want to be like slumming it in video games at the time, which is hilarious considering the legacy of this video game franchise.
By the way, there is a new Street Fighter film being made right now too.
Yeah, and it looks crazy. I love Carl Urban, man. I think both of us are fans, so I think he's cool casting for the movie. I wonder, you know, you said he'd be the star of it, and I mean, for marquee purposes, he certainly got the bigger name than most of the people on it, but that's kind of the problem with adapting a Mortal Kombat, and we saw it in the last film. They introduced this new guy instead of focusing on who I always thought the protagonist of the series was, which is Liu Kang. So they have this new guy who led the last film, and now they've got another guy leading this new film. But I really feel like Katana is probably going to be a central character as well. So it's hard to adapt a video game with a dozen playable characters when everybody has a favorite, because how do you split the focus between them and give a fulfilling narrative? So I think there's a lot of fun shots in the trailer. I don't anticipate it being a capital great movie, but I'm hyped to see it.
So was that, if remind me, the new character, was that Cole Young, played by Louis Tan?
It was.
Yeah, he is back in this film. So they're not just ignoring that or anything either.
He's not in the trailers, though, which is crazy because he really was the main guy of the... And that was a huge point of contention for Mortal Kombat fans. Is like, you have this legacy of characters. Why not use them? And in my mind, the producers probably were trying to work through the same logistics that I just now mentioned, is who do you even make the main character? So, I don't know. Johnny Cage gives us a good in, because he's a grounded Earth Realm character who's an actor who kind of finds himself in this supernatural, fantastical situation. But the cat's already out of the bag for the like whole fish out of water thing, because the first movie already exists. Yeah. So I'm pointing out a bunch of the kind of inherent problems of it. But again, I'm such a fan of the games, and I thought Scorpion and Sub-Zero were freaking awesome in the last movie. So like, I'm here for it.
Well, and you know, I will point out, I'm looking at the billing here, and Louis Tan is like eighth down the poster.
He's probably going to die at the beginning. He's probably going to get fatalities by Shao Kahn at the very beginning.
He is below a number. I mean, you mentioned Katana. Katana's actually second billed for this. Yeah. But we've got Jessica McNamee back as Sonya Blade. We've got Michad Brooks back as Jack. A lot of these characters are coming back. Now, who I don't see listed is Sub-Zero.
What's the name of the actor that plays him? His name's going to be Gi-Han, I believe, on the casting.
Yeah, not sure, but like of course with these things they could always be hiding things from us too. Because I think, wasn't Sub-Zero in the trailer?
Sonata, play Scorpion, and he's just one of my absolute favorites. So Joe Taslim, who is an awesome action star, is going to be playing, they call him Bi-Han/Noob Saibot. So Sub-Zero died in the last one. He's being reincarnated as Noob Saibot in this one.
Okay, there you go. So something deep for the Mortal Kombat heads there. I am not the biggest Mortal Kombat head in the world, so I would have totally, and did totally overlook that. But I am kind of excited about this movie. I think Carl Urban kind of takes it to the next level, and I didn't hate the last one.
I was about to say, I don't think we ever talked about it. Yeah, so what's your quick take on Mortal Kombat?
I had fun with it. It wasn't like anything that was mind-blowing or anything, but I had a good time with it. So I'm down for it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Moving on, May 22nd, big day. We've talked a lot about this movie already, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on it now, but that is, of course, Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and Grogu. Mm-hmm. The only thing I want to really point out here is that there's a lot riding on this movie, because it has been very heavily rumored that if this movie doesn't fly, it is the end of that whole part of the Star Wars world. Like, we've been building towards, you know, all of these various TV series were going to come together in some kind of climactic movie. And it is heavily rumored that if this movie does not do well, that that's dead and all of those series are dead.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. Want to mention another movie that's coming out that date also, that is definitely a smaller film. We're mostly talking about big, big movies here. But this is maybe one of the movies I'm most excited about this year. Will not be a big box office draw, but I'm personally very excited about it. It's a movie called I Love Boosters. Mm-hmm. This is the second film by Boots Riley. Boots Riley did a really great, like, satirical sci-fi movie a couple of years ago called Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You. It was so fun.
Which was incredible. And this looks like it's going to be just as fun. It's got a killer cast headed up by Keke Palmer and Demi Moore. Lakeith Stanfield, who starred in Sorry to Bother You, is back in this as well. It's about these women who make a living by stealing designer goods from stores and reselling them while their designs are in turn being stolen by designers. So I just know there's going to be some kind of crazy turn to this movie. I cannot wait. I have such respect for Boots Riley. I'm here for it, man.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. He's an exciting filmmaker, and you know that what you can expect is the unexpected.
For sure. We're going to move on to June 12th is the next big date on the release calendar. And again, a couple of big movies coming out on that date. When I first mentioned Scary Movie, which is the They're just calling it Scary Movie. They're not calling it Scary Movie, whatever number it was, because they're trying to do what Scream did when Scream did Scream, which is now Scream 5. And kind of play the, you know, it's not really a reboot, but, you know, the whole thing. And I don't know if you've seen the trailers for this. I will say I've seen the trailer for this like 3 or 4 times now. And I do keep picking up new references to things in it, which is a little bit promising. Like, it took me a minute to realize that the plot line in this movie is that, you know, kind of like all these movies, it's a requel. They're bringing back some of the stars of the original and going into all of that. And there's a bit where they go and find Cindy is the character's name, right? The Anna Faris character.
Yeah.
And she's like locked up in this house with all this barbed wire around it and everything. And it took me like the 3rd, 4th time seeing this trailer to realize, oh, they're playing off Final Destination Bloodlines there.
Yeah.
Like, there's some stuff that's really obvious. There's a scene on a train that's very obvious. The scene from Scream 6. There's, you know, various other. There's also like a martial arts battle going on in there. That's like, it took me 2 or 3 times to realize, oh, I see. They're trying to riff on Everything Everywhere All at Once here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kind of like, I'm a little bit concerned about this movie to begin with, because this has never been the strongest franchise overall. Like, the first one was kind of,
I'm not a Gen Z wokey. That's why I like it, because I'm edgy and cool.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the first one was pretty funny, and then they went downhill from there. I can see
I enjoy them for what they are, and especially on the heels of the Naked Gun reboot. I think there's a lot of stuff to mine over the last several years, but I think when I rudely cut you off what you were about to say, it's like just referencing something does not make for a good joke, and that's what a lot of those later movies really started to do.
So there's that.
Elliot was like, my turn, and he's dipping his little gimp hand in the mashed potatoes. That was really funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, there is that factor that just referencing something is not satirizing it, and it's not making a joke. It's just a reference.
Yeah.
Are some of these references so dated that it's too late to be bringing them up? And Everything Everywhere All at Once is a prime example of that. I loved that movie, and it took 3 days
as well.
I loved that movie, and it took 3 times of seeing that trailer for me to realize that that's what they were referencing with that.
How many people have even seen Weapons or Everything Everywhere All at Once? Like, mainstream audiences, are they even going to catch a lot of this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but we've got to take a break. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We'll be right back. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us, and we are going through our summer movie preview, looking at some of the movies that we're looking forward to seeing over the course of this summer. And we had gotten up to June 12th. We talked about Scary Movie, which is coming out that date right before the break. But I also wanted to spare a little time to talk about the movie that I'm very excited about for that date, and that is Disclosure Day. We don't know a lot about this movie, and I'm kind of glad we don't know a lot about this movie. I don't want to know a lot about this movie until I get to see it. All I need to know is that this is a UFO film directed by Steven Spielberg, based on a story by Steven Spielberg. It's written by David Koepp, who Spielberg has worked with quite a lot. Getting some major Close Encounters vibes here, guys, and that is a good thing. Great cast: Emily Blunt, Josh O'Connor, Colin Firth, Eve Hewson, who is Bono's daughter, if you don't know, and Coleman Domingo. Wyatt Russell's also in this. Dude, I don't want to know more than that. Like, yeah, I'm ready.
I think it's great to see Steven Spielberg going back and exploring science fiction. He has, you know, deviated and done more historical dramas and other things that are just incredibly well done. But this feels essential Spielberg, and I'm with you. Like, keep it cryptic, keep it vague. All we need to know is that one of the greatest filmmakers, arguably the greatest filmmaker alive, is kind of returning to his roots.
John Williams doing the score again, too. Which, yeah. You know, we're not going to get too many more John Williams scores, guys. Hell, I mean, honestly, how old is Spielberg? How many more Spielberg films do you think we're going to get? I mean, he doesn't seem like he's ill or anything like that, but dude is 79. You know,
yeah.
John Williams is in his 90s, I believe. So, you know, let's relish these collaborations while we can, because I hate to say it. You know, we don't know how John Williams is 94, dude.
I swore there was a movie like 2 years ago that was supposed to be his last score.
He has said that a couple of times, you know, so I have a feeling that as long as he's still alive, Spielberg's going to keep coaxing him out of retirement.
Yeah.
But
seems like a good reason to come out of retirement.
Well, yeah, I mean, no argument there. I like I said, don't want to know more than that. I'm good with knowing just that. We'll move on to June 19th. All right, dude, I got mixed feelings about this movie existing. June 19th, Toy Story 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't this two films past where this franchise should have stopped already?
Yeah, I was very disappointed that there was a Toy Story 4, and I saw it. And it's pretty good. And so I guess if they can continue to make movies that are pretty good, that's good enough for me. But Toy Story 3 was the ultimate swan song in the same way, say it with me, that Avengers Endgame was.
Yeah, I guess. But like, here's the thing for me. If you saw Toy Story 4, and I did, and it was okay.
It's fine.
But like, the ending of that film, like, as much as Toy Story 3 was a beautiful end to this franchise, then they pushed and made one more. The ending of Toy Story 4, Woody and Bo Peep leave the group. Like, they go off to become, you know, become lost toys. It's intentionally.
Right.
I'm looking at the poster for Toy Story 5 right now, and I'm seeing Woody right there, and Tom Hanks is in this
movie.
They're
all there.
So, you know, why is Woody there? Like, if you at least have the guts to go ahead and make it without Tom Hanks, now you're going to have to spend time explaining why Woody's back before you can even make a movie. And like, the reasons for this movie existing that may make some sense. Like, the whole thing is like, okay, the toys are, you know, Bonnie is the kid now, since Alex gave all his toys to Bonnie. But like, now the toys are losing playtime with Bonnie to an iPad, basically. It's a frog-like tablet named Lilypad. Okay. That's a valid reason to do a Toy Story movie. There's some commentary to be made in there for sure. But there's too many questions about why this exists other than money.
I mean, that's it. It's really felt like Toy Story 3 was the definitive ending. And you're right, they did do something different enough with Toy Story 4 to only essentially just kind of reset the board and put it back to the status quo.
Yeah, for the record, Annie Potts is back as Bo Peep, too. Mm. So, yes. This just feels like cash grab with like a dollar sign for the letter S in it too.
So, yeah.
I mean, like you said, they obviously every movie wants to make money, you know, get that. Absolutely get that. But this just feels so cynical from a franchise that had such heart. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's great. I hope it's also going to be the first Toy Story film with no input from John Lasseter. There are reasons John Lasseter's not at Pixar anymore. I get that. But it feels iffy, man. Feels iffy.
I guess.
Let's move on to something I'm more excited about. This may be the film I'm most excited about for the summer. Maybe. June 26th, Supergirl. I'm very excited about this. I'm excited about the story that it's based on, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow by Tom King. I'm excited to see this on the big screen. I'm excited to see Millie Alcock in the role after the brief preview that we got at the end of Superman. I am really excited to see Jason Momoa as Lobo. We got just a little brief clip of him in the role, and he just already feels perfect. This is the role that Momoa was born to play, not Aquaman.
Yeah.
This is the role Momoa was born to play. We're going to get to see some of the science fiction aspects of the DC universe in this, and some of the interstellar travel and some of the, you know, because the DC universe is a big universe. It's not just Earth. And, you know, this, I know James Gunn did not write and direct this, which is funny because the trailer feels like one of the most James Gunn-y things that I've ever James Gunned.
Yes, it does.
But I'm really looking forward to this, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was very tepid about my excitement regarding Superman. I was on record talking about it with you leading up to it, that I felt like it was doing too much and not focused on Superman enough. And while some of those critiques I still stand by for having seen the movie, I will say what it did was nail the spirit of Superman and make me excited to see what comes next. And considering this is what comes next and we got a little sneak preview of the character in Superman, I can't wait.
Being directed by Craig Gillespie, who's well known for doing Lars and the Real Girl, I, Tonya, Cruella, the 2011 remake of Fright Night. So interesting mix of films there. If he can bring a mix of those films to this, I think that's going to be really interesting. I love what James Gunn is doing in this universe. And I also think with the impending merger with Paramount, there is a lot riding on this film for the future of James Gunn at DC. There's a lot riding on this. There's a lot riding on the Clayface movie that's coming out later in the year. There's a lot riding on the Lantern series, and there's a lot riding on Man of Tomorrow. And I really hope that all four of those movies are blockbuster successes so that Ellison and company have no cause to come in and say, well, this isn't working and we're going to start over again. Like, we don't need to start over again. We're good.
No.
We're good. We are where we need to be with the DC universe right now. We've got somebody that cares about it and is building a great universe. And I think that this movie is going to exhibit that to the next level. We got to take a break. We're going to be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. By the way, because I'm Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. My co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us, and we are going through our summer movie preview. And if you don't know why I would play Pharrell Williams' Happy to talk about that, then you are not familiar with the history of that song. That song was written and recorded for Despicable Me 2. People forget that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So we are seeing the return of the a subset of that franchise on July 1st. We have the third Minions movie, which is titled Minions and Monsters. And that is coming out on July 1st. Are you a fan of the Minions, Jeremy?
No, I'm not. It's fine. I'm not offended by them, but it's not for me. I like the first Despicable Me movie, though.
I liked the first Minions movie, too. I've like gone up and down with the franchise overall. So this is Minions and Monsters, which is obviously like the title is intended to allude to Dungeons and Dragons a little bit there, I think. But sure. It's set in the 1920s with the Minions trying to find monsters to aid to cast in their monster movie. So
that's
you know,
kind of fun.
That could be fun. You know, these movies are, you know, they're all fine for what they are. I'm with you there. I'm not like the biggest fan, but I'm not a hater either.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of that.
Not anything we need to spend a lot of time on, but the families will definitely go out and enjoy it. Another movie the families will most likely go out and enjoy that I can take or leave, despite really being a fan of the original animated film. July 10th, we have Moana. This is the live-action Moana. So it's not Moana 3. It's not the sequel to the two animated Moana films. It is the live-action remake of the first Moana film, which doesn't feel like it was all that long ago, does it?
It doesn't.
But we have... The chief spectacle here is obviously Dwayne The Rock Johnson returning to the role of Maui, playing the role in live action, which is interesting because they've had to put The Rock in a muscle suit.
I was about to bring that up. I'm glad you said that. That's crazy to think of putting The Rock in a muscle suit.
But Maui is much more built than The Rock is. So if they're going to accurately depict Maui, they got to make him look bigger.
That's what's important is that he's a big rectangle. I love Moana so very much. I probably love Moana more than I love The Lion King.
Wow.
And Lion King is one of my all-time favorite animated movies. I do not care about this, not one bit. I don't like these live-action adaptations of animated movies.
Is 10 years too soon?
Is that how long it's been?
Yeah, 2016.
I don't know. I mean, it seems pretty on par. And I might be off a couple of years, but things like How to Train Your Dragon, which got the adaptation. So I just feel like maybe it's the direction things are going now.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm not super hyped about that. I am super hyped, however, about the movie coming out July 17th. And that is The Odyssey.
Oh, man.
This is Christopher Nolan taking on one of the great epics of all time.
You seen all these geeks getting mad that the armor's not period accurate?
I hadn't, but why am I not surprised?
These are the same people that are like, The Rock's not muscular enough to play Maui. Yeah, who cares, man? It's called interpretation, and I know there's a difference between a myth and a legend or a myth and a fairy tale, but let's be honest. There's no such thing as a lot of the things that happened in... The Odyssey, so like changing it up a little bit is okay. And like you said, getting an adaptation from one of the greatest filmmakers about one of the greatest stories ever told, that's exciting to me.
Well, and again, the cast is just beyond compare. Matt Damon,
insane.
Tom Holland, Anne Hathaway, Robert Pattinson, Lupita Nyong'o, Zendaya, Charlize Theron, John Barenthal, Benny Safdie, John Leguizamo. Himesh Patel, William Lee, Mia Goth. Come on. You know, there's no way this is not a multiple Academy Award nominee.
It looks so good.
In fact, this is probably the opening salvo of the 2027 Oscar campaign.
Did you see the extended trailer where they show up on the Trojan horse?
I have not. I actually am kind of also trying to stay away from as much as I can. I mean, it's the Odyssey. You know what the story is, but... you know, I don't want to see it, much like Disclosure Day. I don't want to see too much about it. I want to just see it.
There was a trailer before one of the movies that I saw more recently, and it's like a 3-minute sequence from the movie itself. It's not a conventional trailer, mm-hmm. but the tone sold me. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean, even just like getting down into like some of the actors that are in this that they haven't told us who they're playing yet. You know, Elliot Page, Samantha Morton, Nick Terabay, Ryan Hurst. You know, I mean, like these are like the smaller names in this. James okay. Remar. I mean, come on. How can you not? This is one of the most exciting films of the year, for sure. Moving on to July 24th, next entry in the Evil Dead franchise is titled Evil Dead Burn.
Love it.
Now, I think that this has been, we talked about this recently, how this may now have inherited the title of most consistent horror franchise since Scream went off the rails with Scream 7.
Yeah, you brought that up a couple of weeks back, and I think that's a really solid argument.
This is being done by a French director, Sebastian Vanacek, who did the film Infested. Came out a couple of years ago. They've really kind of branched out with the Evil Dead franchise. They're not really focused on Ash anymore. Haven't been for a little while now. Bruce Campbell's still an executive producer on this. And, you know, while we're thinking about it, happy thoughts for Bruce Campbell, who's just recently announced that he's got cancer.
Oh, man, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, you know, best wishes for a full recovery from that. One of our, you know, all-time favorite cult movie actors. Not too much out there about what the subject matter of this film is going to be, other than obviously people becoming possessed by Candarian demons.
Yeah, a little Necronomicon, a little Deadites. The usual.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
But yeah, you know, like I said, consistent series, hoping it remains consistent. I don't love every movie in this franchise, but they're all eminently watchable.
Is there one that you don't like?
I wasn't terribly big on Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah.
I kind of agree. I thought it was highly watchable. Thought it had some really good scares in it, but like it. Did it live up to the original trilogy or the, you could call it a remake, I guess. It wasn't really a remake, but the second film titled Evil Dead.
Thank you, man. I feel like we are in a very small club of two that prefers the 2013 version to the more recent Evil Dead Rise.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely think the 2013 Evil Dead by Fede Alvarez is a better film than Evil Dead Rise.
Absolutely agreed.
Yeah. Last but not least, we will wrap up the summer movie preview with one of the most anticipated films of the year by far. July 31st, Spider-Man Brand New Day.
Yeah.
So Tom Holland becomes the first Spider-Man to make it to a fourth Spider-Man film. Although, you know, he's obviously been in other movies as well. We've probably seen more Tom Holland already than we have seen of Maguire or Garfield.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's been in, what, Captain America Civil War? He's been in a couple of Avengers movies. So, yeah, I mean, you know, even with Tobey Maguire getting a fourth turnout in the last Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious where they're going with this, though. So we
know we have a Hulk and we know we have a Punisher.
Yeah. So we've got these two. There's some argument that we have not seen Tom Holland get to just have a Spider-Man film yet.
Well, here we go. This is another example of that.
Yeah. So there is that, you know, again, we have to have other guest stars from around the MCU in this movie. Although interesting ones for sure. And then, you know, how does this story play into everything else that's going on? Because we've left off with nobody remembering who Peter Parker is. So he's alone. He's got no friends. He's got no family. You know, Aunt May's dead. He's, you know, nobody knows he exists. How is that going to play into his psyche? How does that play into what he's going to run into? Then we have this big question mark of Sadie Sink being in this movie. And them not telling us who she's playing. And there is a lot of rumors about that and about how that ties into what's coming up with Avengers Doomsday. So then you get into the, does this become a Hallmark movie? Do people care about this because it's Spider-Man, or do they care about this because they have to see it or they're not going to know what's going on in Avengers Doomsday, or does anybody care anymore?
People love Spider-Man. I think we can rest on those laurels and just say people tend to show up for Spider-Man movies.
I think a Spider-Man movie is going to make money, but is it going to make throw this figure out there again, is it going to make $1 billion? You know, because the last three did.
Oh, wow.
And the third one was was during the pandemic and made $1 billion. So you don't have it's a different world excuse for that, for this one. Like if this
I mean, if any superhero can, it's like Spider-Man, I feel like.
Well, we'll see. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot riding on this for Marvel and Sony for sure. So I hope it's a good movie. Daniel Justin Cretton is directing this. He just came off Wonder Man, which we both really loved. Big fan of his previous Marvel film, Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings as well. So I'm very eager to see what he does with Spidey. And we will see, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on the show once we do. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.